We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 24th day of January 2024. And tonight we have at the helm there our producer is Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And, of course, out way out yonder, we still have the legendary parson, Joe Larson.
I'm still alive and kicking, ready to go to work.
And tonight is Windy Wednesday. We have that herbal marm, the first lady of the apothecary. Hey, Wendy.
Hello, good evening.
It's good to have
Hi,
you here.
Wendy.
Hey, Pastor Joe. I'm glad to be with you guys.
Yeah,
we're always having you around.
Yeah, but Joe, there's a bit of a controversy, though. And, you know, Wendy's new catalog's coming out. And the question, Joe, is your picture in there and is my picture in there in that catalog?
I don't put my picture anywhere.
Well, I've been asking to put our pictures in there, and if they're not in that catalog, now I understand it's about medicine and it's about making people well and not making them sick, but Joe, there's a message there if our pictures aren't in there. Well,
there is. Well, I thought it's because you and I had the face for radio.
All right, we'll just leave that be. We're going to go to the scripture. Okay, all right. The title of the message was The Immutable, Irrefutable, Indisputable, Pro-Life God. And boy, we've been really looking at some very interesting things about God Almighty through His Word, the Bible. And tonight we're going to pick it up where we left off in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 through 14.
All right.
Let's do it verse at a time, Joe, verse at a time. All righty?
We'll start with verse 8 then. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
Okay, so what is that? That verse is saying something very, very important. It's referring to, it's the first person of the Trinity speaking to the second person of the Trinity. Does that verse right there quantify the fact that Christ is deity?
Oh, definitely. He's calling his son thy throne. The throne, O God, is forever. He's not talking about his throne. He's talking about his son's throne.
All right. So he said it's forever a scepter of righteousness of thy kingdom. And so Then he goes on to say, thou hast loved righteousness and hast hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So now he's God the Father is saying, look, God the Son, I have anointed you with the oil of gladness above all of thy fellows. Okay. And so he's making a statement there, and that word there actually, fellows, in Greek would be the same word we use for companion. Companion.
Companions would be the host of heaven, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And so, so now he goes on because Christ was continuously compared to the angels. Remember how the Sadducees
for a while was the angel of my presence. He was the angel of the Lord for a while before his birth.
That was a Christophany, but
right.
Yeah, and so the word angel there or here, angelus, means simply a messenger. Yeah. And so here now we go on. Read
but
verse
first,
10.
I noticed that one thing, hated iniquity. Everybody's always talking about, oh, Jesus is so loving, he accepts everybody. Well, right here it said, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, which is sin. So all the Sodomites and all those out there that are claiming God loves them and accepts them, right there he's saying, no, Jesus hates sin.
Well, not only that, but several other places in Scripture, it says, like in Isaiah 61, that God hates those that commit iniquity. God hates those
right.
that commit iniquity. So here then, well, in fact, several places, he hates those whose hands shed innocent blood. He hates those whose feet are swift to run to mischief.
Right.
And the Lord in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. So who is he referring to here?
Jesus.
Christ was the creator, huh?
Exactly, and he's the one that has hands, right?
Absolutely.
That's kind of a clue there for, you know, the...
We kind of covered that yesterday. We were in 102 Psalm yesterday, didn't we?
Right. It kind of repeats itself, so God's letting us know for sure, right?
Absolutely. Wendy, you just jump in with a question or a comment.
I will.
All right. You need to say, well, I didn't know that. That way we'll think that we're teaching you something new. In here it says, they shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment. Now, who's he referring to, they? He's referring to everybody.
The heavens and the earth in verse 10. So when he says they shall perish, the heavens and earth will perish.
Absolutely. They're all going to. Heaven and earth will pass away. Only one thing lasts forever, right?
The word of God.
And as a vesture that shall fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not find them. So what does Peter say about in the end times that the earth is going to be what? It's going to be made over. The heavens are going to melt, right?
Melt. The heavens will melt. He will remake. There will be a new Jerusalem come down out of heaven, out of God's throne. And it sounds like he'll use the same stuff to remake it.
Okay, so now he shifts here and he says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Now, you had Gabriel, you had Michael. These angels were quite powerful beings. I mean, they were quite powerful beings. And, of course, we know the most powerful one was Lucifer himself, huh?
Right.
And so he's asking a question, but which of these angels said he at any time sit at my right hand? What is the significance of sitting at his right hand?
Because that is on being on the right side of God, is the only one that's, you know, close enough to be on his right side.
That was always a sign of power and authority.
Right.
To set there would be a sign of power and authority. And then he says, until I make thine enemies thy footstool, we're going to see that in the near future, aren't we?
Well, it sure looks that way.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So let's ask Wendy. Hey, Wendy, do you have a guardian angel?
I think I did before I was saved.
You're absolutely right. A lot of people don't understand that. I often hear people talk about, I know my guardian angel is right here with me. Well, angels do intercede on our behalf on a daily basis, don't they? But you're right. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be. Who, once you're saved, you have the indwelling of who?
Holy Spirit.
Okay, so now
God
where
himself? Yeah.
Where do the angels get their power?
God, I guess. Yeah.
From the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Yeah.
He delivers the power. So if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you don't need a guardian angel now, do you? But you do have angels interceding on our behalf, don't we?
Yeah.
One of these days, an angel's going to put my picture in your catalog. Right on.
He will not let up, Wendy. He will not let up.
Right up on the front. All righty, here we go. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7.
7, all right.
And so, here, let's take verses 1 through 3, verse at a time. Go ahead, Joe.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him.
Okay, so there you go. Now, we got to get a good idea who Melchizedek is. Okay, there's a lot of people. Do you know who the Seventh-day Adventists are?
Yes, I've heard of them.
Well, there are certain minority sects of the Seventh-day Adventists, and they believe that Melchizedek, was an angel, actually was virtually like an Adam, from another planet. This is what they believe, that never fell. So he will live forever. He was a created being, like Adam. He was created, and he never fell. And he was here now on earth as a priest forever. There's some problems with that, isn't there?
There's a couple problems there, yes.
Okay. Do you think that would be as significant if he, Melchizedek, were that another Adam from another planet that God brought here, or even just from heaven, that was a created being? Do you think that would be significant enough to be spoken of throughout the Bible, at least on several occasions?
Oh, yes. Well, one that wouldn't. God does everything. God is very consistent. He made the first man, Adam. And then from Adam's rib and from his side, he made Eve. And it would not fit the way God does things to make another, you know, Adam-like.
Hmm.
It's far more likely that this is a Christophany, that this is Christ as appearing like he did as the angel of the Lord, the angel of my presence.
Well, we kind of got a lot more proof of that if we read on. It says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being, by interpretation, king of righteousness. That's what that word means, king of righteousness.
Right, king of righteousness. We just, wasn't that one of the things we just kind of read about?
Yeah, we were covering a lot of that over in Psalms. So he was the king of righteousness, and of course we know who the king of righteousness is, the king of kings and Lord of lords.
Just back in Hebrews 1, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And right here it's talking about then the king of righteousness would be the one that has the scepter of righteousness.
Okay, and then...
It totally fits, right?
All righty, and then which he is also the king of priests. Who was a king of peace? That's what Salem means. Now, who was called the prince of peace?
Jesus.
Mm. Jesus, yeah.
All right, so we're getting to where we're solving this puzzle. We are. Now, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abiding a priest continuously. So there's only one high priest. There's only, as we know, only God himself, pre-existent.
Right, has no beginning or end, only God.
Well, I think the evidence is pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah, to me it is. It's crystal clear that this is a Christophany, that this is Christ, you know, was the... He appeared all the way. He existed from the very beginning of all things, you know, and he will be there past the ending of all things. So it could only be Christ himself.
Why don't we ask Wendy? Hey, Wendy, what were they talking about when they called about the slaughter of the kings? Do you know who that was, the slaughter of the kings?
I do not.
I knew it. And that's why I asked you, because you didn't put my picture in the book. But anyhow, let's go to Genesis 14, because I have an opinion. So Genesis 14.
An opinion, okay.
All right, now, here in Genesis 14, actually I'm going to start over in verse 10. Well, no, verse 9, okay, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, kings of the nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Erech, king of Eleazar, four kings with five. So now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you a story here. What happened was these guys all got together, and they're like the deep state. They're like our deep state. And what they did is they went out and they captured and raided Lot's people and also Abraham's brother and took all their people. And took they raided them, they pillaged them, and they took the women and this and that. So when Abraham finds out about this, he gathers 318 of his men, his best servants, and he goes out after them. And he catches them, and he made them very, very, very sorry for what they did. And he smote them and pursued into Hobab, which is the left hand of Damascus. So he smote all of these kings, and he brought back his brother and Lot and his goods and the women and also the people. And so the king of Sodom went out to meet him after he returned from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him in the valley of Sheveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed the Most High God, which delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave them tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, Give me thy persons, and take thy goods to thyself. Now, here Abraham says, No, 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 I'm not going to dare do that. And Abraham said, to the king of Sodom, I have left up mine hand unto the Lord the Most High and the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from thee a thread, even a shoe latchet, that I will not take away anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. And anyhow, so that was the king, the slaughter of the kings that it was referring to.
Okay.
Now you know it.
Now I know, yeah.
So if you're like out in the grocery store and somebody comes up to you and says, Hey, Wendy, what do you know about the slaughter of the kings? You'll be ready, won't you?
I'll be ready.
All right, there you
Now, here, where it has this Melchizedek, the king of Salem is the same as we just read, right, as the priest.
Yeah. Yep.
Melchizedek.
Yep.
Because the one thing I noticed, most of the stuff I've read or looked at other Bibles and other places, they call him an actual king. They don't think it's a theophany. They don't understand. King of Salem was probably a real person, an actual king.
Well, okay. Remember what was, when Christ was upon the cross, what was the plaque above his head?
King of the Jews.
That's right. But the Lord Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Melchizedek was the king, not just of Salem, but he was the king of Salem, where that's where he was as a Christophany or a theophany. So let's stop.
I was just bringing that up because a lot of people probably have never heard that in their life, because I'd say most pastors, most churches do not teach about Christophanies, and they have no idea who, you know, Christ, where Christ was between the creation and his birth in Bethlehem. It's kind of a shame because they miss so much of Scripture.
We're not going to be that way, are we, Joe?
Nope, we're not.
We're going to tell it all?
All that we know, all that God has made us privy to.
All right, there you go. So now I got some announcements I got to make. First of all, good news, praise the good Lord. We did manage to override Governor Mike DeWine's veto and pass the SAFE Act. It was passed. Now, we expect to probably have a court challenge on this, but it was overridden by a large margin, too, by the way. And so that means that these ghouls out there cannot go ahead and experiment and mutilate. They can't castrate the young boys and cut off the breasts of the young girls. And you know what else that means? It means that these males, biological males that have days where they believe they're a woman, cannot enter into the women's sports here in Ohio, the girls' sports, because it's not a right thing. It's not fair. And see, Joe, even if they think they're girls, they're not. And that means they can't walk in like they've been doing, right into the girls' shower room. You know, when the girls are in there, after they've been doing swimming and that, these guys can't walk in there, start naked, because now it's illegal. They have to realize that.
I've got to add something there. It just drove me nuts. Some of the girls were complaining that when the quote guy that thought he was a girl was getting an erection watching them shower, I'm going, how can a woman have an erection? You know, this whole thing is insane, people, if you think about it. You go back to basic biology 101, a male, female, there's X chromosomes, Y chromosomes. There's a difference between men and women, and it's in every single cell of the billions of cells in your body. There is no way that by will of force or preference you can change the cellular structure of the human body. I mean, it's so absurd, it just defies all truth and logic.
That's why you and I will never do it, Joe, right? Alrighty.
Think about it.
That's right. Okay. You know what? Tomorrow night, we're going to have Tactical Civics meeting, and that's going to be at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. You know why? We're tired of paying outrageous property taxes when that's not constitutional. We're tired of the illegitimacy that we have in the courts. We understand that we, the people, are supposed to be the people that have government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And, well, that's gotten away because we've let the wicked get in. And, well, we have Bill Wilder. Hey, Bill, are you there?
I am here. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Tell us about tomorrow night.
Well, Friday night, right?
Oh, that's right, Friday night. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I believe it's Wednesday, right?
Yeah. Just testing you.
You never know.
All right.
The weeks go by fast. But, yeah, Friday night we're going to do a little intro, explain what goes on with Tactical Civics at the church there, 7 o'clock p.m. I would encourage you, if you're anywhere near, come join us. You're going to meet some of the best people you ever met in your life. I also wanted to share that Tuesday, the 30th, starting at 8 a.m., a group of podcasters are going to be talking about Tactical Civics for 18 hours. It's their primary focus. It started out with 4 podcasters. We had 9 as of yesterday. Now we have another 18 to 20 of them. Just unbelievable. I mean, the original plan was to, and this was from the podcasters themselves, like Ann Vandersteel and Jocko, I think, is the guy. And there's Pete Santilli, who I guess is an Ohio guy. Anyways, started with them just wanting to, you know, really promote Tactical Civics. And now it's got to the point where there's several million people that will be exposed to it. If you want to learn more about it or want to follow through on it, the OBBM, that's Oscar Bravo Bravo Michael Network TV on the web, or OBBM Network app on Roku, are both going to cover the whole thing. I just got off of a podcast talking to some people about that. So that's another very exciting thing. Just super excited about what's going on with Tactical Civics. And there's a bunch of automation that they just installed into the Tactical Civics website that's coming online. So we'll be able to handle a whole lot more people, and hopefully we will handle a whole lot more people, their learning and ability to help them at a level that is really unprecedented. I'm super excited about it. I'll explain a little bit more on Friday night for sure. So I encourage people to come to that.
We're putting down a very, very solid and a very wide and deep foundation. So as we're across the country, we're seeing, what is there, over 1,300 chapters now?
It's over 2,100, I believe, is what the current number is.
And
we had about 1,800 people this month.
Wow. And so that's in over 1,300 counties, right? Because I know
I believe it was 2,100 counties the last.
Wow. There's only 3,400 counties in the whole country.
Yeah, we're really growing. It is absolutely amazing. It's because it's the Constitution, you know. It's our founding document, and pretty much everybody knows that, even if you didn't get taught or you got taught by the devil-worshipping public school system.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing here in Ohio, as you know, that they just they wanted to pay. We talked about this last night. They wanted to pay the children to go to school, and because truancy is, there's so much truancy. And the guy, one of the liberal Democrat who said this, he said, how are we going to discuss what bathrooms to use, okay, you know, or this transgender, what gender, if the kids don't even come to school? Well, but you see, these people don't understand the reason a lot of those parents aren't making their children come to school is because of that exactly. And so why would they want to send them there to get indoctrinated into cultural Marxism? But I tell you, what's growing here in Ohio, both Christian schools and homeschooling, their attendance is growing by leaps and bounds. And so
it's so awesome. We homeschool our kids primarily. We sent them to gym classes at school, but we homeschooled them, and we're different. And we tried to help them learn how to think, not what to think.
Absolutely, absolutely. Very good, my friend. All right. Well, listen, thanks for calling that in. I know you get up very early in the morning, but if you want to hang in with us, you can. We're going to play a little clip right now. This here is Charles Payne. And Charles Payne, he turns the tables on the Democratic strategist Jessica Tarlov. Jessica is a feminist. And by definition, by definition of God's word, the Bible, unclean, you know. Now, she is pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-lesbian, if there's a sin out there. But she, She dresses nice, and she has a nice appearance. She just embraces everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin. And so what happens is old Charles Payne, he kind of had enough of her. And I've seen the same thing happen in the past where Jesse Waters also has had enough of her, and Judge Jeanine. But anyhow, go ahead and take it away.
You know, Charles, you talked about the issues here and how immigration here is at the top, but it also is an economic issue, and right. It crosses all boundaries. And it is a weakness for President Biden and the Democrats. Dean Phillips talks about this on the trail, and he talks about how Democrats demean MAGA voters. He talked about it with me today, saying that, you know, it's just strange that they're talking about a group of voters like that.
And I don't think it's narcissism. I think if it's, you've lived in New York long enough, you know it's maybe a New York thing. Someone punches you, you punch him back harder. That's the way I grew up in Harlem.
Not if the country's at stake, right?
He became president of the United States with that same personality. I don't think I think it's worse with Biden calling MAGA. Biden's anger and vitriol and hatred for MAGA, it's far more worse than President Trump's individual battles with someone who crosses him. That is something that is really detrimental to this country, that the president of the United States despises half of the United States. President Biden, I said earlier today, about a week ago, I had a segment coming up, so I Googled Biden hates MAGA. Nothing but articles after articles after articles. He has expressed hatred for
who's
half of
writing
the country.
Those articles.
It doesn't matter.
And
look
it's
at
not.
Him. Because the bottom line is he says it. He has vitriol for them. And so does MSNBC, and so does CNN, and so does the New York Times. They have vitriol for half of the nation. They don't look at them like fellow Americans, and it's unfortunate. They try to paint them as racist. They're, all the things that they do to their fellow Americans who simply want a safe home, a safe community, for the children to have prosperity. They want the same thing, but they demean them all the time. That's why I think Phillips was so intriguing, because he went to a rally to find out for himself. And guess what? Golly, these are some pretty cool people. They're just like us.
Exactly what
All righty, we're back. And now we're going to go to Wendy. And Wendy, tell us what's in Wendy's world.
Yeah, you did mention, you were talking about property tax right before you played that clip, right?
Yeah, this is one of the things. Property taxes are really unconstitutional. One of the things that we stand for there at Tactical Civics is to take away county by county, remove property tax. But go ahead, yeah.
Well, to help listeners, there's a guy called Ron Gibson, and some of his classes are up on YouTube, and he teaches that. He teaches people how to educate themselves, and he gives the history with the founding fathers and all this stuff about allodial titles or land patents. So you're correct. The founding fathers didn't want us to operate like the King of England, where people couldn't own property. And they didn't want the government to own properties except the 10 square miles in the capital. If they needed to build forts or ports, they were to lease the land, not to own it. So allodial titles stay with the land. So when the King of England gave back the land he said was his here in America, the government, the U.S. government, couldn't own it, so they gave it away. And these were titled, allodial titled land, which stays with the land. And on the allodial title, you can actually search for your title, and you can see it in the old calligraphy, and Ron Gibson explains how you do that. He has a whole class on it if you want to take his class. I took his class. I thought it was fascinating. And so the title stays with the land pastor. So if you bequeath or sell the land, the title goes with the land. And on the patent for the land, it says in perpetuity. And Ron gives you all the Supreme Court cases where they cannot get around that, because in perpetuity is a legal term forever. It means forever. So if you, Ron shows you how to claim your land patent, and then they cannot charge you tax on that land.
Well, that is exactly what we teach. And so this is where we'll be talking about Friday night at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. Every church around should be doing what we're doing. It's taking a, and we're using everything that we're teaching. It comes right from God's Word, the Bible. We use all the biblical principles right from the Word of God, and we're going to be teaching that in that class on Friday at 7 p.m. at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road. It's that's Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, and 44065 is the zip. And we would encourage you folks to come on out. It's right at the corner of Route 87. That's Kinsman Road, Route 87 in Sperry. And to come out and learn more about this because, see, one of the main things, Wendy, is the grand jury. It takes us back. We're going to go back to under the Constitution and the militia. The Constitution is very clear. The people, not corrupt prosecutors and corrupt judges, but the people are to convene the grand juries, all right? And what's happened is, and I'm going to be maybe tomorrow night spending some time, hopefully, on speaking about some of this here. But the people have been swindled out of this. They've been taught otherwise by the fake news media and the corrupt courts. And now what's happening across the country in some states, the counties are now taking their government back. And the people are convening. There in Michigan, not a couple of weeks back, they fired every single county official was fired or replaced by the citizens. And when you have a grand jury, the militia, a standing militia is required according to the Second Amendment. The militia enforces the grand jury, and that is the highest court in the land. And so the grand jury. And so the other courts... Go ahead.
No, well, I'm just one point. Ron, just tell people that your land patent's not self-executing. You will have to defend it because your locals won't understand that. You have to educate them. So he says be prepared to take it up the chain and even to the higher courts if necessary because people just don't know this because it's information that hasn't been passed down.
Absolutely. Very good. Mm-hmm. So... I think what I will try to do is speak on this, maybe some of this more tomorrow night, and because it's growing. I mean, the meetings keep getting larger and larger. More and more people keep coming out. And every actual real church should be involved in this. It's called citizenry, okay? Yeah. Are we second-class citizens? Does the Bible teach that we... Okay, who owns the earth in the fullness thereof?
We do.
God does.
And who is the heirs of the Lord Jesus?
We are.
The born-again believers.
So then it's our country. It's for us to take it back. But you have NBC, ABC, CBS, and especially Joe Obama and Biden trying to convince us we're some kind of second-class or lesser than second-class citizens, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, I have to wonder, Pastor, because, you know, the Bible says that the children of God will inherit the earth. And you have to wonder about these wicked people in positions of power wanting to depopulate the earth. Like, they don't want us to get our inheritance. They want their earth for themselves. You know, it kind of just sings to me that way. They just want it for them. Yeah, everything opposite of what the Lord wants, you know?
Well, and that's
exactly
why...
Wendy, they wanted to kill Christ, so now they want to kill off all his followers. I mean, it makes perfect sense if you look at it that way.
Right, yeah.
Well, you know, if you go back throughout history, whenever you had tyrants in the land and the people were about to rebel against the tyrants would do what? They would bring in other people, invaders. They would kill off the own citizens of that land and bring in other people. And that's what they're doing here in America. They want to kill us off. They're trying to kill us off with fentanyl. They're killing us off. By the way, we have a clip, and I think we'll be playing it tomorrow night, Wendy, It's a very, very good clip. Tucker Carlson, he interviews Ed Dowd. Now, Ed used to be on John, Joe, you remember, he would come on with Larry Nichols years ago, and we would have him
often,
on.
Often, yes.
And he's out with Tucker Carlson, and he's talking about the latest cause of unknown deaths numbers, and it's what you talked about, Wendy. It goes back to how people aren't dying from COVID, they're dying from the vax, which we've been telling people. And so they're killing us off with the vax, but it shows you how the insurance companies, what they're seeing now, a 40% rise in the deaths of people, men 18 to 40s, a 40% rise.
Well, okay, so that age group is your supposedly strong defense male force. Don't you get that?
Yeah, I do get it.
Yeah.
And so what are they bringing in? They bring in 10 million aliens, many, many of those are Chinese nationals. Obama Biden, again, and we've been telling people before he was even a resident in the White House, we were telling people he was a Chinese Communist Party puppet. He was owned in lock, stock, and barrel by the Chinese Communist Party. Obama Biden is his mentor here. But, what was the latest thing he just pulled on us, Joe, where Joe Obama vetoed what piece of legislation?
He just vetoed a bipartisan bill that protects the U.S. Electric vehicle industry from China. And it was bipartisan, and it was the idea by American that EVs and charging stations and all the different things would be American-made or at least assembled here, and a certain percent had to be, you know, the parts had to be, and it was to protect American workers and factories, and he vetoed it over even his own people.
Well, that's exactly what all of these tyrants do.
China Joe, folks, China Joe. He's supporting China, making cheap parts, and just kind of vetoed you having a job in the new industry.
Wendy, I may also play a clip, but you won't be here because you're doing that beauty sleep thing with us again, and I know that you have had a little bit of an eye problem recently again. But I was thinking of playing, maybe I'll do it tomorrow, a clip on the food supply, how the globalists are gaining more and more of the food supply, and yet more and more people now are trying to grow their own. More and more people in America are planting their own gardens.
Right.
And they want to go after your business too, don't they?
Yeah, we're going to touch base on that because there's some information on Disease X. It's been in the media. Some new research saying China has been busy in the lab creating this new COVID strain for humans. So it's such a concern. Our U.S. Congress drafted and passed a House Resolution 3832 called the Disease X Act of 2023. And we should note the Disease X did come up in the 2018 World Economic Forum meeting. But the WHO says, oh, the description is just a placeholder. It's for whatever pathogen may come our way. You shouldn't worry. Well, the way the World Economic Forum described Disease X, they said it is really worrisome. They said it was going to be 20 times more lethal than COVID-19. Now, mind you, that was said in 2018 before we even had COVID-19.
Exactly. So, how did they know?
Right. So, and the National Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology said in November 2023 that the COVID pandemic highlighted the limited resources the world had for fighting these type of outbreaks. So we go back to the Act of Congress. They passed the Disease Act in 2023. They also revealed some intent to establish a new program called the Biomedical Advanced Research Development Authority, or BARDA for short. If it's enacted, this agency will have the authority to develop medical treatments for any pandemic disease. And this may be concerning based on what is currently happening in Canada, where the Canadian Health Authority is amending the Food and Drug Act in the name of safety. So the amendment in Canada called Bill C-47 endorses restrictions on natural health products. And this would be the second amendment after a bill in 2008 that they had. So the public there is being told that it will strengthen the safety protocols and oversight of natural health products, and that will push up the cost by at least an estimated 25%. So the bill does establish significant fines on the natural health industry, whereby a lot of the small business couldn't afford the slightest infraction. And Canada's natural health products are being redefined as therapeutic drugs. Now, that's important because nations, European Union nations, have recategorized herbs that way, especially Australia. So, in other words, they think of it as a prescription medication. So this enables, so this enables the government to highly control your natural product market and enforce strict controls to limit access. So we've been warning people for decades that the same type of system is advancing here in the United States, and it could be that your Biomedical Advanced Research Development Authority could become the agency to approve and authorize treatments for pandemics and even your natural care products. So health authorities in the United States did notice during your pandemic, the COVID pandemic, that there was a significant uptick in consumers buying natural products rather than using the prescription treatments. So it is an estimated 40% of the United States population didn't trust the allopathic treatments and went more natural.
Well, they're complaining. Go ahead. I'm sorry. They're complaining right now that the CDC, they don't, that less than 38% of the people will take the flu shots. And they wonder why.
People are a little more skeptical these days. But, you know, China's new creation is also something to think about. In the January 2024, it was researched by Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory. It was published in the Bio-Prescription 4 publication. It reported on China's work developing a mutated version of the COVID virus using mutated human cell mice. The research was intended to create a virus that will infect humans. It's estimated that the new mutated COVID strain will be extremely lethal and most likely overwhelm our national healthcare system. According to Bio-Prescription 4 publication, the research on this lethal strain is called GXP2V, and with this mutated version of COVID virus, it could have the following devastating effects on humans. It will attack the brain, lungs, bones, eyes, and trachea. So, just no one knows for sure, you know, if they've tested this on humans yet or not, but the outcome on mice is not good.
Well, they said all the mice died, and they died from the brain damage, the brain hemorrhaging.
So, yeah, science
doesn't sound good, does it?
It doesn't, but you know what? Here's the bright light. Science highlights some herbs that are great for viruses. This is November 2023. The National Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology, they published their research on willow bark. They said it inhibits viruses like coronaviruses, such as COVID, and enteroviruses. That would be your single-strand RNA viruses. The research has stated that the willow bark can inhibit both enveloped and non-enveloped viruses, and your non-enveloped viruses are your protein-activated types. Here's what they said. Recurring viral outbreaks have a significant negative impact on society. There's a need for safe and sustainable antiviral solutions derived from nature. Willow bark has long been recognized as a medicinal property and has been used in traditional medicines. However, its potential as a broad-spectrum antiviral agent remains relatively unexplored. They go on to say, in our study, we expanded our research to study the antiviral properties of willow bark extracts against enveloped human coronaviruses and investigated their mechanism for action against both coronaviruses and enteroviruses. Our results showed that the willow bark extracts were able to protect cells from viral infection. The extracts showed efficiency both at high and low temperatures and even after a short period of time. It was also shown to inhibit influenza virus infections. So there was significant structural disintegration of the coronavirus block the enteroviruses completely using willow bark. So they were very impressed with willow bark as an inhibitor to these types of viruses. And we've got lots of herbs that are to things that we're concerned about. Ebola, your natural inhibitor for that would be found in gentian root. For tuberculosis, it's thyme, T-H-Y-M-E, herb. And then, of course, you've got smallpox, and that would be the pitcher's plant has an inhibitor to smallpox. So God didn't leave us defenseless in these latter days, you know. Now, the National Library goes on to say it appears that the individual compounds in willow bark do not offer protection unless they remain together and intact. The bioactive properties of these bark extracts are broad-spectrum antiviral action and thus likely to be due to the synergistic effects of the different detected flavonoids, biohydroxysteamic acid derivatives, and polycyanins. So what they're noticing is they can't seem to dissect this plant and just take out strong properties and try to make a drug with it. They're noticing it has to stay together. So scientific medicine is realizing your medicinal herbs do have power of inhibitors to help us during pandemics. However, it does appear the health agencies and the governments are moving toward a system that would allow them to highly restrict and regulate these products. That mostly likely will happen if there's not enough pushback from consumers. So in the case of willow bark, it really can't be altered and still inhibit viruses. So science will have, we're going to find it difficult to change that product and get a patent on it. Also, by the way, Finland did a study in November 2023, and it was published in the News Medical Life Sciences, and they said the same thing that the National Library of Medicine said about willow bark. They really confirmed what they were saying, and their publication was published in Frontiers of Microbiology, where they said scientists in Finland are now showing that an extract of willow bark, a plant which is already proven in several medicines, including aspirin, modern aspirin, has broad-spectrum antiviral effect in cell sample experiments. And what they found, which I thought was interesting, is the willow bark will protect the outside of your cells so that viruses can't penetrate, but if they do happen to get in your cell to replicate, the willow bark doesn't allow them to bond to the cell membrane to replicate in. So willow bark has got two different mechanisms to protect you.
Well, I'm glad that we have you out there to tell us which herbs to take for which ailment.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You know, God said herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and we know he can't lie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I know you got a break coming up. I did want to mention we are having, well, this is the last week of our New Year's sale. It ends on the 27th, so if anybody is needing medicinal herbs for protection, they'll save 20% during the sale, and they could just call for information or then go to websites on the homepage, the information on the sale. Our toll-free number, if they would like a catalog, is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, or they can visit the website, thepowerherbs.com.
All right, we're coming right up to a break. On the other side of the break, we're gonna hear from former 56. Oh, what is that all about? Boy, this fella thinks a whole lot like us, and you'll hear about that. So hang tight. We're going to be back right after this. Wendy, you're welcome to stay. Be right back.
Well, I'm going to go have to rest the eye. I've over.
Light the fire,
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.